All right, let's go ahead and pray before we get into our lesson tonight. Father, we thank you for the time we've had together. Thank you that we are able to start a new year, and you've given us a new year and help us to use it for your honor and glory. And we pray that you'd be with ABC Kids, help us to be able to meet together this year, and keep us healthy and safe, and be with our community and our nation and our world, and help us to live out your values, of the ones of your kingdom, as we can, and praise you. Go with us tonight in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so tonight what we're going to do is, this is sort of a, Christmas is kind of a good jumping off point for what we're doing tonight, so it kind of lined up a little bit. So, what did Jesus accomplish by coming into the world? So, I had sort of planned to talk about the Jesus being born and some things like that, but we pretty well covered that, I think, in December, if you were able to come anytime. We talked about that quite a bit. So I'm going to be talking about some verses in Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 4, which he does talk about that, Christ came for this purpose, and then he talks about why that is. Now, and by the way, I hope everybody had a really good Christmas, or was able to at least take a good break or whatever. And now we're all heading back into school. And you got something, Isaac? What do you need? There was no question. All right, so let's move on here. So the question tonight, what did Jesus accomplish by coming here? Now, I know immediately most of you probably have some kind of answer in your mind, and you're probably right, because we talk about this quite a bit. What is the whole point of Jesus? And, well, he came down on the cross. We know all that, right? So that is what we're going to talk about. But there's you got a question? Okay. Man. All right. Let's all keep our hands down. So before we answer that, though, this is Paul writing to the Galatians, and they were part of the Roman Empire. And so before we talk about this, I wanted to talk a little bit about a Roman household and what it was like to maybe live in Rome. And because that's kind of important, because what he says to these people is in that context, like that he assumes that that's what they think a family is. And so like our families are a little bit different. Our families are a little bit smaller and arranged a little bit differently sometimes. Well, I mean, some of us have slightly bigger families, I guess, but in Roman times they had even bigger families. So they would have, a Roman family, you can go to the next slide, because this is kind of the Roman stuff. So you can see this could be all one family, maybe, depending on who's in here. Now, some of these people are kind of dressed kind of fancy, so probably this maybe is some different things going on here. But you would have sort of like a patriarch, they called it a pater is father and familia is family. So a pater familias is the father of the family. So this is like, anybody go to like anybody's relative's house or something for Christmas or anything? Like you go to your grandparents or something or anything like that? Or maybe not this year, but at some point or whatever. Sometimes, so like back in this day, sometimes big extended families lived all together in one big place. Like one big complex or something, especially if they were well-to-do. And so like if you're kind of a well-off kind of a person, you could be, you were the head father. You're like the person or whatever. And then so you had your wife and you had your children, maybe even some of your children have grown up and gotten married, they would still live there. And maybe they would have their own little section somewhere else. So sometimes they would do it that way. And sometimes there would be maybe even grandparents there or another thing. Then there would be all kinds of like servants and people like that. And remember, because they didn't have dishwashers and, you know, all that computers and all that kind of stuff. So they had to have like people actually, they didn't have faucets that just turned on. You had to go and kind of get the water, and you had to heat it up and build fires and stuff like that. So they needed lots of people to make a household run. And so they had all kinds of servants and stuff as well. So those were all kind of part of the family too, you might say. So there's a whole big group of people. And then you might also have some people that sort of work for the man in charge. Or maybe they owe him a favor or something, and they're just kind of around. So anyway, this is a big group of people. And then there was kind of an order to it. So if you were the big guy, he was kind of in charge of everybody. And so everybody else kind of ranked lower than that. So he could make really big decisions for other people's lives even. And the law allowed him to do that. Not that they always did, but even the wife was almost as like a child, like another child almost, which in some cases she actually was. But anyway, so that's the social structure was very rigid. Now we live in America where we think, oh, everybody is equal. We have this idea that, you know, just because somebody, you know, makes a living, you know, pumping gas or something or changing tires, they have the same amount of worth as, you know, somebody who's a congressman or something. So it's like we have sort of like this idea, even though sometimes, you know, we do sort of treat people a little bit differently depending on maybe how much money they have or what kind of job they have or stuff like that. But, you know, at least on paper, we're kind of supposed to be equal. Well, in Rome, they didn't have that. There was no equality or whatever. There was clearly these kind of people were better than the other kind of people who were better than the other kind of people. And then right at the bottom, you had slaves who were kind of the worst of all. And if one of them, you know, got killed on something, it didn't really matter. It was just a slave, you know. So anyway, that's not the best way to run things, but that's how they did it. So so all of these people that were underneath the man, their job was to bring honor and glory to this man and to maybe bring him closer to being kind of friends with the emperor even or something, that, and make it, you know, and their house be more important, be one of the more important houses. Now, one of the problems, though, is they had to, in order to pass on all of their property and wealth and everything and their title and their notoriety, they had to have an heir. They had to have not just any heir, they had to have a male heir. They had to have a baby boy or something, a boy to grow up. Because by the law, you couldn't pass all your stuff to a girl or a woman. Again, you know, here in America, we think, oh, that's terrible. And it was. But that's the way they did it. So, and the other part of this is, back in this day, children didn't often live to adulthood as often as they do in our country, in the modern world. Like now we have all kinds of like vaccines and stuff. We're just like working with a new vaccine right now. Maybe some of you will get that sometime or at some point, or at least your parents will maybe, or maybe not. But we have hospitals and all kinds of good medical care and things like that. Well, back in this day, there was 25% of, that's like one out of four babies would not make it. And then beyond that, another 25% would not live till be 10 years old. So this is about only 50% of the kids actually grew up because it was so dangerous and there was so much disease and things. And it was just a different world. And even if you did grow up, you weren't going to live terribly long. You know, if you lived to 50, you had a very long life. So we have a very different thing right now. So anyway, so what they had to do, if you didn't have any male children and you had all this stuff, that was a problem. How in the world were you going to extend? You didn't want the government to come in and just take all your stuff because you didn't have an heir. So what they would do is they would find some kind of some nice young man that was maybe from a good family. And or maybe not from a good family, but maybe had some good prospects or something. And they would take him and they would adopt him and make him part of the family. And then when he grew up, he would be the new paterfamilias. He would be the new head person. And he would have all this stuff. And it would kind of go on. So then the family name would continue and people would say, oh, I remember this family. Boy, they're so powerful. And they would continue to talk about it for generations to come, hopefully. So that was the idea. All right. So they had this idea about having an heir and being very important. A lot of people were adopting people to do this, especially in the wealthiest kind of people. All right. So now let me read what Paul says to him here. So he says this. He says, and he talks a lot about slavery too, because remember we talked a lot about slavery. So they know that in their mind. They look around. They know some slaves. Maybe some of them were slaves. He says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. That's maybe even worse than being a slave, being a prisoner. Oof. So he's saying we were held captive to the law. The law made us prisoner. That's kind of interesting. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. All right, so he says if you are following Christ, then you don't have to worry about the law, because remember, nobody can keep all the laws. That was one of the big problems. But Christ kept all the laws, so we don't have to. And we certainly should try to do what God wants us to do. But Christ ultimately is our righteousness. So that gives us some freedom. We can breathe easy because we don't have to worry all the time that, oh, I've made one mistake, so I guess I'm not accepted by God anymore. No, if you're a child of God, then you are accepted. And so we don't have to just worry all the time about, you know, oh no, I've messed up again. Well, Jesus has taken care of that. So now, but then he says, if you're Christians, those that are trusting Christ, they're not, there's no such thing as being a Jew or a Greek. It's like saying, so now that we're Christians, we don't have to worry about being an American or a Canadian, or we can all just be Christians here at church if you're a Christian, if you're a part. So that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Now, we make a pretty big deal of being American, don't we? I mean, man, that's right. We're American, right? That's a big deal. And it sort of is a big deal. But being a Roman was a huge deal for them. That just kind of like us. They were very proud about that. And to say, well, of course there's a big difference between being a Roman and being a Jew. Well, who would want to be a Jew? And then the Jewish people said, well, hey, who in the world wouldn't want to be a Jew? Why, we have everything. We have the law of God. We're Abraham's children. Why, we have all the promises. And Paul's saying, well, actually, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, you're all Abraham's seed. So really, they don't have anything to brag about. The Romans don't have anything to brag about. In Christ, we're all equal. And he says this, neither slave nor free. Would there be a difference between being a slave and being free? Would that make a difference in your life if you were a slave? That'd be a pretty big difference, wouldn't it? There'd be a lot of things you wouldn't be doing because you're a slave. But Paul says, does that really make a difference if you're a Christian? Because you can all come to church and you can, if some of you are slaves, some of you are free, doesn't matter. You can all serve God. Wow, that's something to say. And that was pretty radical to say that. And then, neither male nor female. Especially back then, when the females were kind of treated as second-class citizens. He's saying, no, they're equal. Whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. You can all serve God. And you're all equal. That's a pretty big deal, too. So he's taking all of this stuff, all of this culture that they know, and he's saying it doesn't... Really, all that doesn't matter if you're a child of God. Now, the reason it matters in our world is like, oh, well, you know, if you're a rich man of the right particular background, well, then life is much better. And we think that that's all that there is. We think that, you know, getting more money, getting more fame, getting more honor, oh, that's what life is about. And whoever gets the most wins. And we still sort of act that way, even in our culture, don't we? Man, whoever can get the biggest house, the fastest car, you know, it's like, right. All the coolest new gadgets, like that's what life is all about. But Paul's saying, no, that's really not what it is, because we have something bigger than that. You're looking at these little tiny, shiny things. Hey, look up from there. There's something a lot bigger. And here's what he says about this. And he kind of explains this a little bit more in the next couple of verses. He says, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave. though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. So he's saying, and he's saying in the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. So he's saying, he's talking to them about something they understand. If you're the heir to something, if you're going to inherit the fortune or the house or whatever, or the property, when you're a kid, you don't get to inherit yet, right? Now, maybe when your parents die or something, or later, eventually maybe you might inherit something. But, and then back then, they could even maybe pass on their stuff before they died. But they wouldn't do it to just for a kid. They would wait till the person grew up. And then on that, whatever day it was, they decided, oh, when they're 18 or whatever, then, or when they're 21 or when they're 25 or whatever it was, then they'd say, okay, today you get to inherit. Here's all your stuff. You're now in charge of everything. And so he's saying, but before that, it's sort of like you might as well have been a slave. You didn't get to make any choices or anything. He's saying that's sort of like how it was before we had faith in Christ. People who don't have faith in Christ, it's like they don't really have any choices. They can't really make too many decisions about, their life, because they're just sort of following their own desires. And that's what he says. He says we've been enslaved to elementary principles, or elemental spirits, some translations say. It's like the spiritual forces in this world that are against you, or just your own nature that's against you. That's what sort of enslaves you. But Jesus sets you free from it. And so you can follow Jesus, and you can have some freedom. You can make some choices. And then ultimately, you are an heir of the kingdom of God. Here's what he says. This is the key verse here. It says, you were enslaved, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Adoption as sons. So we were slaves, but Jesus, because of Jesus, we are made sons. We're adopted. Now, it works for sons and daughters. Remember, he says that doesn't matter about whether you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. But he's saying this because people would perk up and, the son that is adopted. Oh, I know what that's about. Well, he's going to inherit everything. He's saying, yeah, that's what it's like to be a follower of Jesus, because that's why Jesus came, so that you could have adoption, you could be adopted. And then he says this, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We can talk to God. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So we are the heirs, we're God's heirs. And God is the kingdom of King of the universe, right? Jesus is the coming King, and we are going to share the kingdom with him. If you're a child of God, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have faith that Jesus came to die on the cross to pay for your sins, and you become a Christian, then you become an heir of God, an heir of all these promises. So that one day, not yet, but one day, it'll be the time for you to inherit. And you will get to share in that kingdom. That's a real thing that's going to happen for people who are following Jesus. Now, it's not just something that's going to happen one day, but also there's a something that happens right now if you're saved. You have a freedom right now that you didn't have before. So you have a new equality that you have that you didn't have before. So you might feel like, well, my life doesn't really matter very much, or I'm just a kid, or I'm just like, maybe our family doesn't have very much, or my parents aren't very important. Well, it doesn't matter. If you're a child of God, you are all Christians. We're all the same. We're all as good as you can be, because we are heirs to the kingdom of God. You can't really get any higher than that. And so to them, it was like, oh, okay, you're the heir to the Caesar or something. Like, you're to the emperor. You're gonna inherit the whole empire or something. You can't really do better than that. And that's where we are as Christians. We can't really do better than how we are. We have been given everything. So we don't have to look down on other people and say, well, I've got more stuff than you do. It doesn't really matter. we all have all the riches of Christ. And we should all treat each other like that. And we should all, that's why we should love each other. It doesn't really matter if somebody is different or has more this or that status. It doesn't matter. So we can have a lot of freedom. We don't have to worry about, you know, trying to have the most stuff. We can sit back and just kind of breathe and say, well, let's just care for each other. And let's do what God wants us to do. All right, so that is why Jesus came into the world. All right, let's bow our heads. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you for the time we've had together. I know it's very warm in here, but we pray that you'd help us to understand some of these things. Help us to be encouraged that if we are followers of you, that we are inheritors, we're heirs, and one day we will inherit and be a part of that kingdom. And even now, we are a part of that kingdom. We don't have to worry about keeping up with everything as much as other people do, because we have you, and we have freedom in that. And help us to live that way. In Jesus' name, amen.